Though first identified as a disease way back in 1947, Zika was never considered much of a threat until it popped up in Brazil last year. Zika is now spreading throughout the world and is considered by many to be a threat to the development of the unborn. So we ask, should we release genetically modified mosquitoes to fight Zika?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1051st edition of the Food Chain right here in the GCN Radio Network. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Port Villa who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Strubey on the boards. Jason, hello.
It's a pleasure.
Pleasure, huh? Hey, let me ask you this. Do you think we should release genetically modified mosquitoes to fight Zika?
You know, my instinct is just kind of say no right off the bat.
An instinct to say no.
Yeah.
Well, let's check in with intern producer Sarah Razai. Sarah, what do you think?
I say not in my backyard.
Not in your backyard, okay. Somebody else's backyard, wherever the mosquitoes are, but not in my backyard. Well, folks, along the food chain, it's eat or get eaten. One of the critters that eats us, of course, is the mosquito. The small and seemingly insignificant, not like a lion, right? Mosquitoes are among the most dangerous creatures on Earth because they are vectors or carriers of creatures even more dangerous. In fact, mosquitoes are the primary vectors for major diseases like dengue fever, malaria, yellow fever, and now Zika. These diseases infect hundreds of millions of people throughout the world, killing millions every year. Over half the world's population is vulnerable to mosquito-borne diseases. Though Zika, the Zika virus, was first discovered back in 1947, it was never considered much of a threat, as its symptoms were limited to a mild fever, skin rashes, muscle and joint pain, and conjunctivitis. But when the disease popped up in force last year in Brazil, it was blamed for causing microcephaly in the fetuses of the unborn, which results in the development of malformed heads and brains. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, babies are being born with shrunken heads. Thanks to trade, Zika is now being spread rapidly throughout the world by its mosquito vector. Many of the traditional ways of fighting mosquitoes are losing their efficacy as the mosquitoes develop and adapt various kinds of immunities to these techniques. And because they are adapting these immunities, we just have to ask, should we release genetically modified mosquitoes to help fight the Zika virus? Well, today, here to help us out, we have Professor Omar Akbari, who is a professor of entomology, University of California, Riverside. Omar, welcome to the Food Chain.
Good morning. Well, thank you for having me.
Pleasure to have you aboard. Entomology. What the heck is entomology?
Entomology is the study of insects.
Study of insects. Well, there's a lot of insects to study, so you probably always have work, right?
Yeah, tons of work.
So how did you become, like, the doctor of mosquitoes?
You know, it all started during my PhD, which I did at the University of Nevada, Reno.
Let me guess, you were bit by a mosquito one day.
You know, I was just highly interested in mosquitoes. I had some family members that had dengue at the, you know, and so I was interested in studying dengue and learning more about them. So, you know, during my PhD, I worked as a vector control specialist, an intern at the Washoe County Vector Control District in Reno, Nevada, and I did everything that related to sort of surveillance and also treating infected areas with mosquitoes, you know, with insecticides, too.
So you're probably trucking up and down the Truckee River there.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, looking for mosquitoes. Well, and I guess you became a professor, and that's your specialty now, right?
Exactly.
Okay. We always ask, doctor, who pays the way for your mosquito research?
Right now, so my lab is sort of new. It just started in July of last year. We have funding from NIH, National Institute mm-hmm. of Health, and we're seeking for the mosquito related research. It's all through NIH right now.
Okay, that's the National
Institute of Health.
Institute of Health, federal government. Good.
Yes.
Okay, away we go. Now you have an interesting hypothesis with respect to Zika and mosquitoes, and that hypothesis is that hey, maybe we can stop the spread by.
Well, by engineering mosquitoes that are immune to infection or unable to transmit these viruses and spreading those mosquitoes into wild populations.
So this is relatively new stuff, isn't it? A new notion that we can re-engineer mosquitoes?
Well, the idea of engineering mosquitoes has been around for a while. People have just recently come up with sort of blueprints on how we could design mosquitoes in such a way that they can spread their genes rapidly into populations. And those technologies are relatively new. And so those are some of the things that we're looking into right now. But the idea of engineering mosquitoes to be unable to transmit pathogens has been heavily investigated for the last decade, I would say.
Okay. Well, so even a decade, that's still relatively new stuff, right?
Yeah, it's relatively new.
Okay. So, to test your hypothesis, you suggest three things you need to do. First of all, you need to develop a broader understanding of the biology of the mosquito.
Yeah, there's a lot of unanswered questions with just the basic mosquito biology. For example, the Aedes aegypti vector, which is the primary vector of Zika. The genome for that mosquito is heavily fragmented and not fully assembled, and that information is essential to actually start developing ways of managing that.
Yeah. So we, in essence, we haven't fully developed the genetic sequencing of the genome of the aegypti, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and that will be essential moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So, aegypti, does that mean mosquito like came from Egypt?
No, this actually it's a mosquito that came from Africa originally.
Okay.
Its name is actually the yellow fever.
Oh, okay. Wow. Second thing we need to do is, besides, sequence the genes, is we need to engineer mosquitoes that are resistant to all types of infections. Wow. That's a job.
Well, and that actually hasn't been done yet, but there's ways we could potentially do that.
Is that like in crop technology, what we call stacking, where you re-engineer different traits and you stack them one upon each other so that, for example, it can have three kinds of Bacillus thuringiensis in it or something like that?
Yeah, that's one way you could think of it. One idea that we have is you can use sort of this thing called RNAi to sort of knock out the different genomes of the various viruses. So
now, that's an interesting expression, RNAi.
RNA interference. It's a way of using small little fragments of RNA that can go and seek out in the cell and find of other pieces of RNA that it's homologous to, and sort of degrade those or block expression of those genes. So you can use that technology to sort of disrupt the genomes of the different viruses, and you can develop an RNAi that targets, say, dengue serotype 1 or Zika virus. You can test those, and once you have functional elements, you can put them all together in a mosquito.
And RNAi is a very new technology, correct? I mean, I've just been hearing about it for the last 3 or 4 years.
It's been around for, I would say, within the last decade.
Okay. And then it takes me that long to hear things, I guess, sometimes. And then I guess the third thing, we need to develop the tools for rapidly getting the bugs out into the world.
Yeah, so that's our primary focus of our lab, is to develop ways of spreading genes into populations that require sort of minimal effort, where you can just release a few mosquitoes and they can transmit these genes throughout a population.
Okay, folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Today we're talking about mosquito vector that is transmitting the Zika virus around the world. Oh, my goodness. Babies are being born with shrunken heads, some 4,000 of them in Brazil. So when we get back, we're going to pick up that whole notion. What on earth is happening with this mosquito, and what can we do about it? Food Chain Radio program, Michael Olson, Omar Akbari, who is the assistant professor of entomology, University of California, Riverside. He, the doctor of skeeters. Right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-, 6-, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Welcome back out there. We're talking mosquitoes today with a doctor of mosquitoes, Omar Akbari, who is a assistant professor of entomology at the University of California, Riverside. Omar, has you ever met anybody who has had anything nice to say about mosquitoes?
No.
No. Well, Jason came up with the only thing I've ever heard, and that was, it feels good when you scratch the itch of a mosquito bite. So that's the only good thing I've ever heard about mosquitoes. And that's not very good either. So let's talk a little bit about the mosquito. We have a particular mosquito here, the Aedes aegypti mosquito, which translates to yellow fever, you say?
It transmits yellow fever, dengue, chikungunya, and now Zika.
All kinds of things. Why does this one mosquito transmit all of those bad things?
I think it's because this mosquito, it likes to live around in human habitats. So it's sort of, it lives inside of our houses. It breeds inside of artificial breeding, man-made artificial breeding containers like tires and flower pots and things like that. So it's living with us. And I don't really have an answer to why it spreads so many different types of these viruses, but I can say that it's living amongst us, and the population numbers are pretty high. So it's the mosquito that bites us primarily.
And do other mosquitoes bite as well, or is it just this, the aegypti?
No, there are other mosquitoes that bite, but some other mosquitoes prefer to bite at night, or they live, they don't live in urban environments. So you're less likely to be bit by those other mosquitoes. It doesn't mean that those other mosquitoes can't transmit viruses or pathogens. It's just that Aedes aegypti is just you're just more likely to be bitten by that mosquito.
And there you are. So they're day biters, I understand.
Yes, they can bite during the day. They also bite at night. But
they bite all the time.
They bite all the time, but they live inside of our houses. So you'll find them, on the walls inside of in your closets, or they're just living amongst you.
Okay, and the way the mosquitoes propagate, of course, is that there are the male mosquitoes, and they're kind of the nice mosquitoes in that they don't bite.
Exactly. Yeah, they don't bite. They just consume nectar from flowers. So we're not worried about the male mosquitoes. We're worried about the female mosquitoes.
Men are good. Women are bad. Then the female mosquitoes, of course, must get blood for their eggs.
Yes, in order to propagate their progeny, they have to get a blood meal. And
that's when we come in.
That's when we come in, exactly.
And then the mosquito, of course, doesn't just pick on people. It picks on anything with blood.
Yeah, but that's true. But some mosquitoes prefer humans over animals.
Mm-hmm.
They can, for example, Aedes aegypti, the Zika vector, can consume blood from humans and also from rodents and small animals, cows, things like that. So if they had the choice between a human and a rodent, they would prefer the human, but they would also accept the rodent.
Okay. Where do they get the diseases that they carry around?
From the blood.
Okay. From the blood of whatever?
Of whatever they bite. So if they bite, if they consume blood from an infected individual, then they'll take on those pathogens during that blood meal through the proboscis, and they'll incubate them in their midgut for a period of time, and then they'll that virus or those pathogens will make it back to the salivary glands, where they can transmit it to their next host.
There it is, and thus the mosquito becomes one of the most dangerous critters on Earth.
Exactly.
And there you are. So the question is, where did all of this Zika come from? Let's look at, it seems like it just exploded in Brazil. From what I understand, we discovered it in 1947. Wasn't a very big deal, kind of like a mild case of dengue fever, right?
Exactly.
And so nobody paid much attention to it because it was just very mild symptoms. It's here, it's gone, and no big deal, so nobody paid any attention. When did we start paying attention?
I think it really came on the radar in 2015 when Brazil started reporting the increased cases of microcephaly. That's when it really came on everybody's radar. But like you said, it's been around for a long time, and it hasn't been much of an issue. But until last year, when they saw this 10 to 20-fold increase in these babies, these small heads, that's when it really got on everybody's radar.
So of a sudden, in Brazil, they had an epidemic or almost a pandemic of babies being born with shrunken heads.
Exactly, yeah. They are calling it a pandemic.
Whew, okay. And that would cause a lot of concern among, childbearing, aged folks. I guess everybody. I mean, that's the future we're looking at, right?
Exactly.
So where did it all come from all of a sudden? Do we know? It seems like, it's the Zika's been around for 70 years that we know of, probably longer than that. But all of a sudden, we have this blossoming of Zika disease causing microcephaly in fetuses. Why,
exactly.
why all of a sudden?
The answer to that question is kind of, I'm not really sure. It's kind of complicated. It could have been that, there could have been increases in microcephaly that were just undocumented or overlooked in Africa and other countries, and when it made.
But that's such an easy thing to see, though, right? I mean,
you would think, yeah, you would think that it would have been.
What could be more obvious than a baby being born with a shrunken head?
Exactly. I don't have a really good answer to that question.
Okay, but all we know then is that in Brazil, in 1 year, there was a big, huge blossoming of this microcephaly in which upwards of 4,000 babies were born with shrunken heads. And we're looking at this going, it's the mosquito. Is it the mosquito? Do we know that?
Well, I believe it is. I mean, the facts so far, based on preliminary research, show that, there's an increase in, they can detect the Zika virus in these mothers that have these these babies with microcephaly. They can find there was an article that came out that showed a mother that had sort of Zika symptoms, aborted her child, and they were able to detect the Zika virus in the baby's brain, in the fetus's brain, and they're able to obtain the complete genome sequence. There's also another study that shows that in brain cells, Zika virus will specifically target those brain cells for destruction. So based on some of the research that's ongoing, it seems like the link between Zika and microcephaly is quite strong.
Are we investing more in researching this possibility? I mean, are we marshaling the resources of everything we have to look into this?
Yes, we are. I mean, there's calls for application from, the funding agencies here in the United States, NIH and NSF, and there's so many questions that are kind of unanswered at this point that are actively being investigated. So
what it comes down to right now is we're pretty sure that it is the mosquito, the Aegypti mosquito, that is the vector of the Zika. And then what do we do about this mosquito? Well, we have lots of ways of controlling mosquitoes. So are any of them working? That's what we'll pick up when we come back. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, your host today. We're talking about the Zika vector, the mosquito that carries Zika around. And what do you think out there? Do you think we should release genetically engineered mosquitoes to fight that Zika mosquito vector? Or what do we do? What is our alternative? Running around with a fly swatter, I guess? 831-479-1080. Michael Olson with Omar Akbari, Assistant Professor of Entomology, University of California, Riverside, and you. Well, folks, it's pretty spooky out there. Babies, lots and lots of babies are being born with shrunken heads. 4,000 babies, we understand, in Brazil alone. And now we see that the Zika virus is being spread by its vector, the mosquito, throughout the world. And what does this portend for us all? Well, it's pretty spooky stuff. How spooky is this, Dr. Akbari?
It's terrifying.
In what respect? Why is it terrifying?
Well, the fact that a mosquito is going to control the outcome of your progeny or your child is terrifying, because it's really difficult to prevent a mosquito from biting you. There are some measures of control, but I'm sure everybody has been bitten by a mosquito, and most of the time they don't even know they're bitten until after they're bitten. So it's terrifying.
It must be terribly terrifying in Brazil, where the Zika virus seems to be blossoming into a full-born pandemic.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, imagine if you were a childbearing mother
or a father or a grandfather or a grandmother or anybody, because it really is going to the great vulnerability of the human race when it gets right down to it, it seems.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's why it's so terrifying. And
so what are we doing about it in Brazil, where it's where we're going to have the Olympics?
Well, I mean, what we're doing now is massive mosquito control, spraying insecticides, preventing breeding grounds. We know they lay their eggs in freestanding water. So if you have a flower pot that's full of water on your front porch, then dump it out or cover it with a mesh, just be more proactive about and teaching the public in terms of how these mosquitoes reproduce and where they like to live, so everybody is sort of aware and also educate the public on what they can do for preventing mosquito bites in terms of wearing long sleeve clothing and using DEET to sort of prevent them from smelly, basically DEET is a smell that they're not attracted to, so prevent them from wanting to bite you. So just education of the public will sort of help in terms of preventing the bites as much as possible.
I had a friend who was flying helicopters on the North Slope of Alaska, and he sent me a photograph once of his international orange flight jacket. It was covered in mosquitoes. Uh-huh. And he said, I used so much DEET today that I literally melted the plastic on the helicopter cyclic on the control zone. I thought, that must be really bad. And it is really bad. So, and we understand that the Brazilian government has mobilized the army. The army's going out door to door.
Yeah, door to door to educate, to find breeding grounds, to spray. This is the best way of controlling them at the moment. And this is not the best way. It's one of the more invasive ways of controlling them, where you're using chemicals.
And we understand that mosquitoes are developing resistance to the chemicals.
Yes, they are. So a lot of these insecticides are not as effective as they used to be, because mosquitoes are developing resistance.
So we're in a pickle here.
Yes, we are.
But you have an idea. You have a possible way out of this. Now, this is brand new stuff, relatively. Your laboratory is new. Mm-hmm. So how far down the road are we looking at a possible genetically engineered mosquito?
Well, there actually already is a genetically engineered mosquito that is being used in Brazil as a control mechanism as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different than the technology that we're developing. The technology that's being used was developed by this company known as Oxitec,
mm-hmm.
which is recently bought by another company in the United States known as Interexon.
Mm-hmm.
And the technology that they have developed is known as RIDL, R-I-D-L, release of insects carrying dominant lethal. And the way that technology works is it's basically a drug-repressible sterile male. So you use a drug.
Wait a minute. Would you say that again? A drug-repressible
sterile male technique. And the way it works is they have factories in which they are able to mass rear these insects, these mosquitoes, in the presence of this drug, and then when they're ready to release them into the environment, they sort the males from the females, release the males into the environment, and these males are essentially sterile. They pass on genes that kill all the progeny, and they mate with the wild females, thereby suppressing the populations, causing these wild females to not produce viable progeny. And when you release large numbers of these types of mosquitoes into the environment, you can suppress the mosquito population over time and potentially eradicate it locally. And so this is a technology that's being used in Brazil to combat Zika and dengue at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things we've read is that they have, in fact, been using this mosquito in Brazil since 2012.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are pointing out to the fact that for some reason the spread of Zika is happening in the same place where they release the genetically engineered mosquitoes to prevent dengue. Is that does that ring true to you?
Well, I think the experiments that have been done in Brazil in terms of the Oxitec mosquitoes have only been done in sort of small confined small areas. So the area that is that has the high cases of Zika is a large area. So they actually haven't treated the entire area. They've just treated little small pockets, and in those small pockets, they have shown that they can suppress populations, of the Zika vector greater than 90%, which is actually an amazing result.
Well, it's huge.
Yeah.
And it's a huge result. So then you're suggesting that the prevalence of Zika in these areas is kind of coincidental to other factors other than what might possibly be related to the genetically engineered mosquitoes released by Oxitec.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with the genetically modified mosquitoes that Oxitec is releasing. Oxitec is just doing these in small little pockets. And so in order to get sort of wide-scale suppression of the vector, they're going to have to sort of increase the numbers of mosquitoes over a larger area in order to protect wider populations.
Okay, folks, this is the Food Chain. We're going to go to the phones when we get back. The phone number is 831-479-1080. Everything you wanted to know about the Zika vector from Dr. Omar Akbari, who is a professor of entomology at the University of California, Riverside, doctor of skeeters, might be. And we will be right back, so please do stay tuned. Pick up your phone and join us, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, it is kind of frightening, the notion that babies are being born with shrunken heads, and the cause of that malady is the tiny mosquito. Who can protect themselves from the mosquito? I don't know how to. If they're going to come and get you, they're going to come and get you. Especially the kind that are the vectors for Zika. They live inside the house. They're in your closet. They're hiding there just waiting to feed on you and me and everybody else, and thus transmitting that Zika virus. What can we do about it? Well, that's the question on the table today, 831-479-1080. We're going to start off with our questions. And Sarah, you want to start? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just have one question for Omar. So I'm wondering if the problem with the mosquitoes is that they're a vector for this virus. Couldn't these GMO mosquitoes, don't they also bite? Could they also be the vectors for a new virus?
Omar?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Let's just talk about the Oxitec technology relating to that question. So their technology is to release only males into a population. These males will mate with the wild females, and the progeny from this mating result in will be completely dead. So these males do not bite people. They will not persist in the environment. They'll mate and they'll die, and you keep releasing them, and therefore suppressing the population. So they actually you'll never be bitten by a genetically modified Oxitec mosquito, and they don't actually persist in the environment long term. So the chances of them ever spreading or vectoring a pathogen is almost zero.
Incidentally, fair warning, the Interexon company, I believe, also owns a genetically modified salmon, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, those is headed up by Robert Shapiro, former chief executive officer of the Monsanto company. Let's go to the phones and talk with Marcella. Marcella, welcome to the Food Chain. Marcella, are you there? Maybe not. Marcella? Going once, going twice, not there. Okay, so let's go to... Okay, let's try Tony. Tony, are you there?
Yes, sir, Mr. Olson.
Go ahead.
I love your show, as I told you before. My imagination has the virus kind of using the human body as part of the environment of their reservoir. If they last at all, can they bite one human that has the Zika virus maybe for years and then infect somebody else?
Well, there you go, Omar.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So far, we don't really know the answer to that question. We think that the virus is only transmittable for about a week, but it's potential that it could actually persist longer than that. So I think there's ongoing research trying to address that question. But I think when you're talking about years, being a reservoir for years, it's probably unlikely.
And is there any correlation with respect to pregnancy and... I don't know. Gosh, how long you wait before you become pregnant so that you don't have, you know, you don't have the Zika?
Yeah, I think the CDC is recommending that if you actually go, if you're you know, if you become pregnant or you're planning to become pregnant and you actually visit a Zika infested country like Brazil, then you should wait about 30 days upon your return before you have any kind of unprotected sex.
So it's transmitted via sex as well as through mosquitoes.
Yes, there is evidence of that.
Okay, let's go to Marcella. Marcella, welcome to the food chain.
Thank you. I'd like to ask Omar a few questions. Isn't it true that Oxitec is heavily funded by Bill Gates and that the genetically modified mosquitoes, at least 15% of them, are not sterile? How can they guarantee that they are all sterile? This sounds like a case of fear-mongering to get more money. They already got borrowed money from the Ebola funding. They've gotten $1.8 billion. And have you looked into other causes for this shrunken heads? I heard there's 25,000 cases in the U.S. It's caused by heavy pesticide use, over-vaccinating the pregnant women. There's horrible poverty, especially in Brazil. Why aren't you looking at these other factors? Thank you.
Well, Marcella, you got both barrels on that one. Go ahead, doctor.
Okay, so I do believe the Oxitec technology was originally funded by a Bill Gates grant, and the mosquito that they're using now actually came out.
Is there something bad about that?
No, nothing bad about that.
Okay.
You know, it was a highly... it was a huge success story. They developed a mosquito that can go suppress populations of mosquitoes, seek out mosquitoes, species specific. You can scale it. It was a huge success.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. So the next question was
other causes of Zika. We've seen a lot of people remark that it's a too much exposure, for example, to glyphosate. And another comment we saw was that is a possible interference with the Oxitec technology and tetracycline when the baby mosquitoes are feeding on tetracycline-tainted foods. They develop some kind of immunity to the immunity or something like that. We'll have to pick those questions up when we come back from the final break. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, what about it? Do you think we should release genetically engineered mosquitoes to fight Zika? Or should we use fly swatters and go get them ourselves? 831-479-1080. Michael Olson with Omar Akbari and you. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, it's true. Thousands of babies are being born, in Brazil at least, with shrunken heads, microcephaly, caused by the Zika virus, which is transmitted, carried, trucked around the world via the mosquito. What are we going to do about it? Well, Sarah, you have a question. Go ahead.
Well, my question is, who do we hold responsible, and what would that even mean?
Yeah. Who's responsible for this mess, doctor?
I think the mosquito is responsible. We need to hold the mosquito accountable.
And which means what? Which means we need to get rid of all the mosquitoes.
We need to get rid of all the mosquitoes from urban environments. Not all mosquitoes, just the mosquitoes that are vectoring these pathogens or these viruses.
Well, why don't we just get rid of all mosquitoes? I mean, I asked you earlier in the show if anybody ever had anything good to say about mosquitoes. And I can't think of anything good to say about mosquitoes, but there must be something good that they do for the environment. Does anybody know what it is?
Yeah, I mean, there are some examples of, you know, mosquitoes do provide a food source for aquatic insects and maybe the adult mosquitoes for some bats and things like that. But, I mean, we don't really need to get rid of all mosquitoes. I mean, there's probably around 3,500 species of mosquitoes that are grouped into 41 different genera, and only, you know, 30 to 40 of those mosquitoes actually transmit malaria. And we're talking about dengue and Zika and things like that, there's, you know, only a handful that can actually transmit those. So, if we can just focus on the mosquito species that are causing problems to us, I think that would be a good start.
And what you're saying is that we can focus on that. The technology is now such that we can target those mosquitoes for extinction.
Exactly, and that's the beauty of genetic engineering, is that we can species-specifically target the mosquitoes that we want to target without affecting other insect species like honeybees or things like that that will be affected by the use of broad-scale insecticides and other types of technologies. So I think right now the most green approach or the safest approach, in my opinion, is to use genetic engineering to target these problems.
Why is it, Doctor, do you think so many people are afraid of turning the folks at Interacts on loose with their mosquitoes? Why are we afraid of that?
I think it's just a new technology, and, you know, we are just afraid of any sort of potential problems that may arise that we haven't thought of. I think that's pretty much it. I think once we start using these technologies in the field, which they are being used in the field in many countries, and show how effective they are and that they work, and, you know, nobody's being harmed and things like that, I think the perception will change over time. I think it's just in the early stages right now, and people are just generally afraid of genetically modified anything.
And there you are. So until we... But here we are. We have this choice. And do we release the genetically engineered mosquitoes, or do we, you know, take our fly swatters out and do them in ourselves? That's the question on the table today, and you folks have the answer. You can tune in with us at metrofarm.com and answer the question there. This has been the 1051st edition of The Food Chain. Michael Olson with your host, Omar Akbari, who is the assistant professor of entomology, University of California, Riverside. Thank you so much for joining us, Doctor, and thank you all for tuning in out there. Remember Michael Olson's second law of the food chain: the farther you go from the source of your food, the less control you have over what's in your food. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.